and love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sa. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this meditation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and others, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are
here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I'm looking at, it feels like one of those times, you know, we talk about how sometimes you're leading the pack and sometimes you're in the draft with the flight of geese. And
Let Insomnia carry you along.
And I just realized this morning I'm feeling kind of a little bit like at the, you know, catching the draft. And so I just wanted to express my appreciation for the fact that there is a draft.
That's funny when you said that. That's the first place I went to. Conditioning would try to make that a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What am I doing at the back? Yep. I shouldn't be at the back.
Exactly.
I should be at the front.
Exactly.
But the focus could actually be, thank goodness, there's this V formation to carry me along.
Exactly. And that, you know, that's what I hear. And that's its most, one of its most favorite ways to kind of divert my attention is just to start comparing how I'm doing to how other folks are doing.
Yeah.
And instead of, it's like you go to the back rather than, you know, hey, I just need to rest for a while.
Exactly.
And be carried.
Yeah, exactly. And because I project, that's how it takes. So, you know, practice starts to go well and we're present and we're here and we're kind of in a lead position. How's it going to take us out?
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing so great. look at you.
Yeah.
Right? And then suddenly you're an eye.
And I also saw that just wanting to speak up this morning and talk and wanting to do it for this person and not for any other reason than, you know, for my practice for the and just seeing the kindness in that and just the willingness to care in that way.
Yep.
And I just got news of a death of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a fair amount of, given my age, and there's actually been a fair amount of loss in the last few years for me, parents, friends, and I just saw how it wants to, you know, what came up is like it's almost like keep me in this place of a war zone. Well, we can't grieve for that right now, you know, we just got to keep going.
Because
No reason. It's just like there's just no space for that, you know.
Just got to keep going.
Got to keep up. And just seeing the unkindness in that, and how it also wants to start in with, well, how good a friend was that, you know?
Oh,
you know?
Oh, God, how cruel.
You can only have so much grief it. You know, it's like it's on a scale of whatever.
You mean, so sort of like if there's a certain amount of grief coming up, then it's like, well, really? I mean, just were you close enough to warrant that level?
Exactly. Uh-huh. You know, if it's your mother, then you can have...
That's one thing.
That's one thing. But if it's,
I mean, really.
A good friend's husband, then, you know, maybe you...
Yeah.
Yeah. And in truth, he was a person that had... really been extremely, I knew for many, many years, and he had been very kind to me, you know, he'd done a lot of kindnesses over the years, and what came up for that, after that too, is that the best thing I can do, and the best way to honor him is to just be here, you know, to just be present, and to really be in my life, and to live this day is just the best I can.
Almost like receiving it as a gift of a reminder that I'm going to be here forever. And you know, as you say that, that place of he was someone who offered kindness to you, I just felt the sense of, I wonder if a piece of the emotion is just appreciating that kindness.
Yeah. He could be really irritating. He was a big talker. But, you know, he... but underneath the ego eye, you know, there was just a really big heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just over the years, you know, he just, you know, in fact, when I first, when I came to the monastery and I had all kinds of possessions I didn't know what to do with, he's the person that just drove a truck up and loaded them up for me and took them in and disposed of them for me.
Wow.
You know, it didn't have to do any of that, you know.
Wow.
And he found some things he thought maybe I wanted to keep that I overlooked, and put them aside in a little box. And they're still in his garage somewhere, you know. I didn't even know what it is that he decided that, you know, maybe she really did want to have those things. So in that way he
I hear a lot of unconditional love in that.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, boy, I loved life in that form.
Yeah.
With all of its everything.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So so anyway.
And what a gift, you know. I mean, you started out with expressing gratitude. Here we are in November.
Yeah.
It seems the time for that. And what a gift to in that you're receiving, it sounds like, in the death of this person, a reminder of how precious life is in all of its forms.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what's coming up, I think, just the sweetness of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there was a peace quote that just came out on Friday that, you know, don't try to change anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just in that appreciation of that.
Yeah.
You know,
And that piece of, if there's anything to, quote, change, it will just happen.
Yeah.
It's like, life will do that. Don't worry about that piece of it. Just show up.
Yeah.
And then life will do whatever needs to happen.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then we do our part, you know, that willingness to put your hands up, and as you said, to talk, to assist, you know, this person, this being that you are stewarding at this point.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so anyway, gratitude and thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
I really like that part I've just talked about just... doing it for the person, you know, just being here for the person, not because of any reason, and doing, really doing anything just for that thing. And I just, I mean, that's just sort of come to me really recently, and just seeing how much there's been an overlay in my life of doing things because I should. You know, because it's the good thing to do, because it's what other people are doing, and because it will make me a better person.
Because,
because. And And how, what I've also seen is how automatically, if I'm in doing it because I should, there will be resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they come together.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if I should do it, then I have to do it, then I don't want to do it.
Yeah, so the because brings the should to life, doesn't it?
It does.
It changes it from I want to.
Yes.
To I should.
I should, and I have to.
And I have to.
And then I'm all the wrong things if I don't. You know, I'm all the good things if I do.
I see. Yeah.
And I'm all the wrong things if I don't.
Yeah.
You know, so it sets up the duality, it sets up the. Sets everything up.
And it's almost, it's funny the way you lay that out, it's almost an intelligent response, like, forget that. I don't want to play by those rules.
That's right.
Of like, oh, gosh, in order to be the right person, I have to constantly do this. And P.S., anytime I get anywhere close to reaching that bar, it gets moved. Yeah. So, you know, then conditioning just wants to swing us to the other side. Well, then forget all of it. Right. I'm not going to do it then.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah, and you know, there's just this one thing that's come up recently. So I bought one of my kind of want to shoulds in my life has been to write. Mm-hmm. And I am a good writer, and so I always thought, well, then why not write? Mm-hmm. You know, and but it always was a should, you know, and I would go through periods of, okay, now I'm going to write. Yeah. It was just torture.
I don't know what to write.
I don't, you know, and so a couple days ago, I read something about that there's this thing in November called National Novel Writing Month, which you can actually sign up, and there's this whole website that's a support for it, and
Wow. There's
all these people all over the country writing novels in the month of November.
Cool.
And I've never wanted to write a novel. I mean, even when I wanted to write, I didn't want to write a novel, but I saw that, and I went to the website, and it said sign up, and I did. And I said, why? It just seems like a really good idea. You know, I thought this could be really fun. And so, you know, so I said, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
At least it will be a month of some impetus to write. And and I loved the guideline from yesterday's workshop about, you know, enjoying the ride and doing it for fun.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, you know, even if everything I write is pure dribble, if I'm enjoying what I'm doing, why not?
Exactly.
You know, and so it's like I'm not doing this writing because I should.
Yes.
There was no should because it never even occurred to me.
Good point. It's like life just offered it to you,
and you
said yes before ego had any chance
before
to slip in there.
Because it always has a reason why
this
is not a good idea.
Yeah. You know, now let's think this through.
That's right. Because you don't really have time, and you don't have anything to, you don't even know what you're going to write about. And
then we miss that it's saying you, and
that's
we go,
right.
Yeah, that's a great
that's
point.
Right.
I really don't want to do this. Right. I really don't.
That's right. And what I've noticed is, so it's only been a couple of days, so it's new, but what I've noticed is that showing up to do this for the writer in me and for the fun of it carries over into everything else.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, I'm doing all my routine tasks because for the fun of it and for doing
it. Uh-huh.
Not because it needs to get done or I have to or so I don't mind doing the laundry or. No?
Well, and back to what you started with, it's all for the being.
It's all for the being.
I mean, I'm doing the laundry. Why else would I be doing the laundry?
Right.
For the being.
Yeah, for the being and for the life that is the being.
Yeah.
And
Clean clothes for her.
Yeah. And there's just a ton of energy with all of this.
I bet. Yeah. You know, and it seems like there's so many opportunities to practice in it because, as you said, there's always kind of been this thing about writing, and you said it's always been a should. And I wonder if it's always become a should.
Yeah.
And that right before that
is
that place that you caught
when
that email came in of like, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But then so quickly, ego does the,
you
know, take, okay, we got a problem here, so we got to make this into a should.
Yeah.
No problem. You know, easily makes it into a should.
Yeah.
But to practice with everything, because I'll bet you by the end of the month you're gonna get to see that slide off into making it into the should.
Yeah.
And so what ego wants us to, I think Sherry was talking about this on the radio show recently, what ego wants us to do then is to say, well, okay, well, I'm not going to do that writing because now it's just a should and blah, blah, blah.
It's no fun.
But instead, we can practice coming back to the process of I want to.
Right.
With everything.
Right.
The book, the writing, the, you know, laundry, the...
Yeah, and one thing that's really fun, so what came up, what just came in about to write my novel about is about a woman who all of a sudden discovers she's here. So what's really fun is I have to start thinking, I have to start looking at what's it like to be here. Because I can't write about her unless
you
I'm here.
Good trick.
It's very fun. So it's like, well, what would it look like? I mean, you know,
I heard her.
Right. I mean, it's like, I get, you know, it's led me to all kinds of curiosity. And so, like, if she's talking about the birds at the bird feeder, it's like, well, what kind are those? And so I go look up and find out what kind of, you know, it's like this, it's like, you know, it's like a puzzle in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fun. Yeah. Yeah. So a little doorway into well, if I were present,
life.
How would that be?
That's right.
Let's just pretend I was present.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking that in group Thursday night, the guidance that Sherry gave was to, when I said I can sense what it would be like to live, you know, here and now, and she said perhaps it would be good to describe what that's like. And,
there you go. Oh, I think I'll write a novel about that.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, that's very fun.
Anyway, it's very fun.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. David.
Well, let's see. First of all, I'm really enjoying Sangha this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm just really enjoying being here in this room and being on the property and being kind of with everybody in this room. It just feels, and also with the weather kind of changing and stuff, I don't know, it's just, it's not actually what I wanted to speak about, but it just occurred that, like, this is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful that we're all here this morning, and we're looking at stuff, and it's, like, kind of cozy in here, and I don't know, it's just...
It's going to get dark really early tonight, hunker in, and, get quiet.
My watch went off at 4 this morning.
Right.
So what I've been looking at is kind of a continuing workshop of what it's like to be in the body. Mm-hmm. And what I've gotten to see as I've turned attention to that is how phenomenally uncomfortable it is to just be still. Mm. And I never realized the extent to which that I is driven out of the moment.
Yeah.
Every single moment. Mm-hmm. And so I was really, really paying attention to it this morning at breakfast. Mm-hmm. And what I realized was that, you know, so I sit down and immediately the first thing I notice is that the body is already in a position that is like holding on.
Uh-huh.
So the legs are crossed.
Uh-huh.
The shoulders are a little hunched.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's always been... Well, it's comfortable to be in that position. But what I've never seen before is that it's only comfortable because it holds out the sensation of what it's like to be alive.
Uh-huh.
Of what it's like to just be.
Uh-huh.
So then I'll be aware of that and the body will let go for a second. Mm-hmm. And then even before the first spoonful is in the mouth, there's already like a story that's flooded in. Mm. There's a tension that's already starting in that core, the three chakras, the first, second, third. Mm-hmm. I can feel the solar plexus tightening. Mm. You know, the sphincter's getting tight. I'm being encouraged to eat faster, to look towards the bookcase, to look out the window. I mean, it's actually amazing. It's beautiful. I'm not presenting it like this is a bad thing. It's just amazing. You know, the expression that I was using in the Rest and Be Thankful retreat or workshop was the title of that book, The Unbearable Lightness of Being. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it for the ego identity that is attempting to survive in this world, which, you know, that's me, if you will, in quotes, that to see it is absolutely categorically unbearable mm-hmm. for that, for the me.
For the ego eye.
For the ego eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for you to be in the moment.
To be in
so the moment. So, I mean, what you're describing is that when you're present, it has to elbow you out, push yes. you out.
Yeah.
Pull your attention out of here.
Yeah, it has to push awareness out. Uh-huh. That's the way it was coming in. It has to push out the vibrancy of life uh-huh. and the awareness of the vibrancy of life. Mm-hmm. It needs to yeah. elbow all of that out.
Yeah.
And it's been absolutely successful for all these years. Mm-hmm. And so just really recognizing that there's just a huge devotion to it. Like there's such a dedication to being, you know, so even in group now, you know, I don't think I ever realized how much like I would fidget and move and change positions and all the rest of it and clench, mm-hmm. basically just like hold on for dear life. Mm-hmm. It's like a life of fear, anxiety, and worry mm-hmm. without ever being aware of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all in this case held physically.
Held physically. Mm-hmm. You know, people often talk about kind of doing, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's just driven to do. And I always, I could relate to that even though I didn't really act it out. Because mm-hmm. karmically, the Enneatype that I am, it's a passion for laziness. that happens to be the Enneatype. And yet, I was aware that it can't be true that same drive isn't going on.
Right.
And so I think that what I've done is that, but I think what's happened is the discovery has been made that the doing happens internally.
Uh-huh. That holding is
yes,
the doing.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That's the key right there. Mm-hmm. So externally, you know, it's like, whatever, you know, right. I just cruise, you know, right. that's me, you know.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
I'm relaxed over here.
Everything's cool on this end of the room. But internally, it's like the freak storm is going on. Panic attacks, like manipulation thinking, you know, all the sexual stuff that I talked about, like it's just exploding in a flurry of do mm-hmm. to get the human being mm-hmm. out of awareness, out of the vibrancy of just allowing all that to come in. So the great image that dropped in yesterday for me at the end of the day was we often talk about, I guess it's a Tibetan Buddhism, where they have the kata, the silk scarf. And there's all the knots in the mm-hmm. silk scarf. And mm-hmm. so I've always kind of enjoyed that. And, you know, we're kind of going along and untying the front of one, and then we untie it, and then there's mm-hmm. that smooth silk that's able to be there. Mm-hmm. And what kind of occurred was that as I go along, you know, throughout, you know, breakfast or whatever it is, every mm-hmm. single moment, actually, mm-hmm. that there's a constant running into those knots.
Right.
That those knots are actually physically in the body, mm-hmm. almost like on a cellular level, there's a tightness, mm-hmm. and they're being either tightened, if there's no awareness with it, mm-hmm. or if there's a willingness to kind of go through that completely uncomfortable sensation, you know, like voices just screaming, you're going to die unless you know, get out of this moment.
Right.
That each knot is being untied on a physical level.
Mm-hmm. When you're willing to sit still through it,
yes.
it unties itself, kind of back to the, there's nothing to change. If something's going to change, life will do it. So there's no doing that's added on to your doing, no. right? There's nothing, because often when we have a big awareness like that, the next thing that comes is, what do I do about that?
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do. There's just sitting still. And that is the knot untying.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because the doing that would want to go on top of that would be the tightening, exactly, yeah. would be the retightening of the knot.
Yeah.
And so it's this really fascinating place where it's excruciating because the doer constantly wants to be in control of doing something about it and yet being...
In order to tighten it. Yeah.
To survive, to be in control, whatever kind of the... To survive, you know, the fear coming. And yet, just being is just being.
Yeah.
And so it's riding every wave of energy mm-hmm. that floods through or catapults through the body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's very serene. Other times it's like freaking out kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. And yet there's simply nothing to do with it. And is the going through takes place, it's like on a more physical or literal level, feeling the knot untied is just the melting internally.
Yeah, it's interesting because the way you describe it, it's almost like every time we encounter the knot, the conditioned belief is, I have to untie it. But in fact, it's the opposite from what you're describing. Every time we encounter the knot, we, how to say it, if we engage with it, we tie it back.
That's right.
But if we do nothing, it unties.
It unties.
So the doing is the keeping it. If we, every time we encounter a knot, if we just sit still, it unties.
Yes.
Hit the next knot, it unties. Yeah. Hit the, so the doing is keeping it tied.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so for, I think, a lot of people, that doing would kind of be the external manifestation of it.
Right.
So like, I'm going to run around and wash some windows or go for a run or do whatever I do. And the discovery was, the awareness was, of course, that for me, kind of quote unquote, the doing, that retightening of it, is happening internally.
Well, I think for everybody, whether they're actually physically doing or not, the doing is happening with attention. The tightening is always happening with the focus of attention.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. It is. It's true, because it feels like the contraction or the tightening is when the attention goes into the story.
Exactly.
That's what feeds it.
Yep.
And so the last piece of this that I really got to see so clearly was, it truly is, the stories and the thoughts have nothing to do with anything other than they are the mechanism, it feels like, this is what it felt like, they're the mechanism that ego can use for the contraction.
Yep.
Like, they're not personal.
Yep.
They've got nothing to do with anything.
Yep.
There's no way to make them go away. There's no way to do anything. They're completely, they just are. And then when attention, when attention leaves the stories and the thoughts, and just goes into the actual physical experience of what it's like to experience all this, that's the transformation. That's the nothing. Nothing is being done.
Right.
It's just that when the stories stop seeming believable or personal or real in some way, then attention is just kind of with the sensation.
Yep.
And so it's kind of it's just an interplay, and it's an ongoing experiment.
Yep, that's why we talk about it's so incredibly simple. Not necessarily easy, but it's simple.
It is. It really is. It's simple there because there's nothing to actually do.
Yep.
And that's the other part of that, as you said, it is. It's not necessarily easy.
Yep.
You know, it's not, kind of thing, for each one of us, I'm sure. But it is simple, so.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Justin.
This is a random topic, but...
We're open to random topics.
So I'm kind of excited about something. For me at least, practice is really different in the winter and in the summer. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of in transition now with the weather. You know, there's more dark and it's quieter and there's stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this thing kind of, I revived this thing this morning just sort of spontaneously that I did all last winter. Which was on Sundays, I call it the listening bonanza, where just basically listening the entire day because there's this space to do it, which I did all in the summer too, to a certain extent, but not in the same way. So I actually kind of like made a plan, it's like, because I've got all my recordings, and then I've got other things too, like especially facilitations I've done, it's really important for me to listen to those because conditioning always has something to say about it, and it never turns out to be so in my experience ever.
Yeah.
I can see things where I was kind of unskillful, but it's not what conditioning says about it.
Right.
So I made a little plan. So I got this whole plan. So all morning I listened to one of my facilitations, and it's just the best. I end up feeling really lit up and charged up and. Aligned with practice, and I just have a great day and all that. So.
Yeah, it's a really tangible focus of the attention, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Doing that listening. And that having those, hours on end, which, as you say, a lot of times you don't, because your attention is required to be engaged in other things, but especially on a Sunday in winter, you really can. It's such a nice kind of cyclical thing that Sherry was talking about this recently somewhere with someone, but that place where there aren't hours in the day to do everything that we want to do, but that's all right because things cycle through. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I just love that awareness drops in. Oh, we're in this transition, different, you know, a day where I don't have things necessarily on the schedule, seasons are changing. Oh, I can turn my practice to this now.
It's time for this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I hadn't really thought about that because I heard her say that too. I don't remember where it was, but
it was the radio show where someone was talking about the trumpet, I think. And
oh, is that where it was?
Yeah.
Because, that's nice, isn't it? Because, I mean, of course, you know what can you do for stuff like this as well? That should be happening all the time. What happened?
And the minute it drops in, that's the first thing, right?
Exactly.
And there's things like, well, why have you been doing that all along? And then it's like, yeah, that's right, and I feel that. And then, wait a minute, I didn't do it again because I got pulled off into the track of what's wrong.
And the other thing is because I was just seeing as you're saying that because conditioning is linear. Conditioning doesn't cycle; it's linear.
Yeah.
And so all I can do is just pile more things on. And so, there's no way, like you said, there's no way you can do everything there is to be done all the time. Mm-hmm. You just can't. But it is perfect that it's because like in the summer there's a lot of inputs coming in. Especially for us, who have the privilege of being here and going on retreat all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a ton of inputs. Not in the winter so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really haven't got that point yet because we have an email class going on. We just had the thing on Saturday,
yeah,
so
and then, pretty soon it's going to get quiet. Pretty soon. Yeah.
So we're still not quite there. But I can we don't have as many nights where we're in group, for example.
Yeah.
So it is kind of moving that way, and so it's appropriate to have more input coming from a different place.
Yeah,
so
what I just saw when you said that, which is fun, is, a lot of us have talked about putting all of our recordings in shuffle, mm-hmm. and then life just, picks the right one at the mm-hmm. right time. And I just saw how life is the shuffle for these practice opportunities. So it's shuffling them, and then it's like, oh, boom, now mm-hmm. it's time for this one.
That's good.
And when we're here, it just arises.
Mm-hmm. We can just give it, we don't have to be in charge of that.
Right.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Though it is good. I mean, I don't know, you said you made a commitment, so I don't know in what form, if you recorded that or writing it down, but in my experience, once it drops in, it's good to document it somewhere, mm-hmm. so that 24 hours later, it's not gone.
Yeah, well, what I was talking about is a practice of bringing attention to time when there's space.
Yeah.
Instead of just giving over conditioning, because I won't end up making the decisions I want to make if I haven't sat down. We say with meditation, get as centered as you can.
Yeah.
What would I like my day to look like? Knowing that it might not go that way, and things might happen,
mm-hmm.
but boy, it would be great. Like this morning, okay, I really want to listen to the recording. We got a whole extra hour, which I didn't realize until I woke up this morning. And
it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
I was like, boy, it's just
only five.
It is not the same. And I finally got what it was because I got this other sleep project going on. Where last night I just got this other alarm clock going. Just last night, I put a battery in it, and so it was set there. And then I woke up like, boy, I feel like I've been sleeping for.
When I looked 4:30.
I looked at it and it was different, but. What the heck was that?
I think you were just talking about setting the intention.
Oh, right.
You have that extra hour.
Yeah, right. And so, I wanted to listen on my recordings, but I really want to listen to a facilitation I did because I'm backed up on those.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so important for taking care of the being to do that. Because I still had something hanging around this one group that I did,
mm-hmm.
and I just, that wasn't going on.
Oh, that's great.
And I was just totally let it go. And so it's it just feels. But if I hadn't said, okay, it's, just dropped in. It's a practice of the attention, but it's also the practice of the intention.
Yeah.
Setting the intention. And so if I hadn't done that, I don't think I would have done it.
Yeah, bring actual consciousness to how do I want to use this time
mm-hmm.
that I've got in front of me. And you said a minute ago, you set the intention and then it may go that way or it may not.
Right.
But what I saw in that was, but that's okay because as long as you set the intention and you stay conscious, whatever happens on the content level, chances are you're going to receive whatever that intention was.
Yeah, the spirit of it, for sure.
The spirit of it. Whether or not it was the content mm-hmm. of the thing. Because I project what you're doing in that is you're setting out to essentially be present. You know, we could call it 1,000 different things, but you're setting the intention to be present, and you're going to do it through the listening to your facilitation recording. And that may or may not be the particular thing that happens, but when you set that intention, whatever life puts in that slot, you have that intention to be present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I want to mention one more thing really quick, just because it's been tickling all morning. It's my favorite insight from the last forever. Mm-hmm. You know, Sherry's been talking about, and we always talk about things dropping in.
Yeah.
I've got this stuff that I can't fit into my hermitage.
Like physical things?
Physical things. Mm-hmm. And I need a place to store them.
Yeah.
And I have for like 3 years.
Right. And with the rain season coming, it's a little...
It's coming. Yeah, well, they've been under tarps and things. Oh, okay. And I don't know. I've been looking at my hermitage saying, can I do? Because they're not really, they don't fit, they're not really inside things. Mm-hmm. Could I build a cabin on the outside of that somewhere because there's not enough overhang? And, you know, mm-hmm. And I keep looking at it and I always get to the place of, I just can't see what I do. I'll just put it under a tarp.
Yeah.
And then a couple weeks ago, or even less, I was laying in bed, wasn't thinking about it at all. And for some reason, and it's just one of those things where just out of nowhere dropped in, you know what? I could put it in my outhouse. I could turn my outhouse into an extra storage unit. You know, all I need is like a 2-foot by 6-foot slot.
Wow.
To be able to get in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, that's what it did for me, because it's just sort of like, well, I mean, who would do that?
Right.
But you know, I started working on it this morning. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, the things fit exactly right.
I love it. Yeah.
It's just the best.
Yeah.
And that just came. I mean, I've been looking for that answer.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And couldn't think of it.
Yeah. Could no, and didn't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It truly just dropped in.
And then it was just suddenly right there.
Yeah. And I love that how it. And then it's perfect. Everything about it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, you kind of wonder, well, why? Why now? You know,
yeah.
what did it take to line that up?
But yeah. There it is.
And I'm grateful to have it. You know. And then there's the joy of actually, and it really is joyful of setting the thing up, because it takes a little bit of work to set it up. And,
yeah.
You know, I essentially finished it this morning, and I'm looking at it, it's got the stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's been sitting under this stuff.
Yeah,
forever.
I love that. Yeah.
And it's just like, I just, you know. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, you know what I mean, just
yeah.
beaming, you know, yeah. just yippee.
I don't know about it for you, but I know for me, for a number of more days or even weeks, go back to the hermitage and just stop and look at that.
Yes.
Wow, thank you, you know, thank you. Because I, at least for me, on some level, energetically, and you know, I wonder if it's the same process with the facilitation thing.
Oh, where good, I was hoping you typed. Yeah.
There's this little thing that conditioning is like, when you're facilitating that group,
mm-hmm.
But it talks us into not going back to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we listen to it, and it's like, gone. That's completely cleared up. That was not true, not hanging around. And then at least for me, realizing on an energetic level, that was having an impact. In the same way that, like, the stuff hanging around with, quote, no solution
mm-hmm.
is having an impact mm-hmm. in some way. And for me, that's why just seeing it in its place is so open and freeing and somehow
really
satisfying.
Is. Yeah, and for me, that's a part of the energy of the winter, too.
Yeah.
I don't do projects in the summer.
Yeah.
It's just too hard to get the momentum going and stuff. But, you know, like this morning I did that, and I did this other thing, and this other thing occurred to me a few days ago about... And it's just all little things that take care of the person.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have this other cat thing and I rearrange that. So, you know, I'm going to go home, I'm sure, after lunch and open up the cat.
Exactly.
And I had to put a 5-gallon bucket. I got one. I'll put it out in front of my outhouse so I can just sit there and look at that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if this is so for you, but one of the things I've been looking at with that, because there are endless projects, right? There's always going to be metaphorically something under the tarp. And that, you know, what I practice with that is, can I let go, not have to have the stuff under the tarp be a problem,
mm-hmm.
and just know that sooner or later it will be time for that.
Yeah.
And life will drop in where that's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, it's already taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Because I can just file it with life.
Yeah.
And know that it's going to
It's happen. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me, so often, that is what creates the space to drop in.
Mm-hmm.
What is the thing? But instead of what conditioning wants to do is like, well, there's this to do and that to do and this to do and oh my God, I've got to do it all at once and then rush through all of it and then none of it's fun. And
Yeah, just one, it's interesting you said that. One last thing is from the workshop yesterday, we had something to focus on,
mm-hmm.
to practice like a certain way of being with. that included like fun and, you know, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And that's why I picked as winter projects, because there does tend to be that tendency. Yeah. It gets urgent, and right. somehow this is important or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. Really? I mean, it's been like this for 3 years. A few more months, it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah, but I really want that. I want to, maybe that's why I'm having this experience this morning, or part of it. It's like, yeah. I want it to be contained in that yeah. just open, relaxed, just space yeah. where, you know, like this morning, I was like, you know, I'm not in a hurry. I'm listening to my core while I'm working, which I normally don't do because uh-huh. I'm just normally during the schedule and we're not doing during the schedule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's just so good that it can happen that way.
Yeah. So not losing sight of the process that you set out, the whole reason you're storing these things in this nice little storage place is because it takes care of you.
Mm-hmm.
But if what we practice is what we have, if we get talked into an urgency around that, then mm-hmm. what we have is urgency.
Right.
But to practice the care through every step of the process.
Yeah, it just totally ruins it otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Becca.
I saw so many connections from this conversation around what I've been practicing, which was starting with yesterday. The project that I was improvising around was cleaning,
uh-huh.
and I just got
that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, and I just got so tickled that having this perspective of here's this human who is getting so worked up around all this dirt, and she lives in the woods with two dogs, you know, and it's like on this swirling planet of dirt. You
right.
know,
right. Oh, it's such a good setup for conditioning's part.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Hate dirt.
Hate dirt.
Live in the middle of a dirt ball and yes. hate dirt.
Yes. And then work really hard to try to get rid of all the dirt.
Right. You know? It's me against the dirt.
And so I just decided to do the yes and I'm having fun wiping yes and I'm having fun wiping it and yes and I two with dogs and what I got to was the what really is under there, what I'm really practicing is because I landed with this place of getting that experience that was just described of so much satisfaction. I mean, just look at all these surfaces yeah. without yeah. dirt on them.
That one's clean, and that one's clean. And
yeah,
that one.
And I know I'll get to do it again in 2 days. That experience. And, but it's for this person.
Yeah.
It's for this person that yeah. loves that look and yeah. that feel.
Yeah.
And so it's not... So it's the whole practice, really the whole practice of my life, and I project everyone's life right now, is about staying with this.
Yeah. Yeah. This pointing to this human.
Yeah, yeah. To this. Yeah. And because there is, it is, it's so trustworthy, it's so led by, you know, it's the life.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And what a gift as you're laying it out to, you know, this person loves a clean house.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, how do you use the pronouns, but you get to be in service to her.
Yeah.
You know, you're not cleaning it because you should or you're supposed to or good people have clean houses or, but because she loves that.
Yeah.
And then you get to be the she that walks into the house and loves it.
Yeah, in communion you know? With the she, married to the yeah. she that got to serve her.
Exactly.
You know,
so grateful and so, yeah. Yeah, I often talk, I think I talked about this in group a few years ago, but I'll do whatever it is, you know, the project, like Justin was talking about, or clean the house really well, and then go deliberately, like right away, go off and do something else, like go have dinner or whatever,
uh-huh.
and then come back. Oh my gosh, who did this?
For me?
Look at that. You know, while I was away, look uh-huh. what happened.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that fun? Like the little elves came.
The little
elves. The same exact process is what's going on in, or it's practicing in the writing,
mm-hmm.
because that tendency, that karmic two tendency, is to make it for something else.
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh. so I'm cleaning the house so that I can have it, you know, so for
right.
something else.
Yeah,
not
like
this
the because.
That yeah, the because.
There's some because.
Yeah, whatever it is. But and so for the writing, it seems so obvious that you don't write for you. You write
right.
for whoever's going to read it, right?
Right? Yeah.
But it's not. It yeah. is so totally turned on its head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like every morning I have this designated time that I write for, you know, period of time, And it's almost like, okay, so it's sort of like when you first learn a stick shift and you have to think about every movement. Okay, so I'm like thinking, watching, is the, you know, because what's coming in are the stories, obviously. They're always here. Like, who's going to read this? Is this crap? Is this, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And what I'm practicing is just checking in. Are we having fun? Does this feel good to say this? Does this, you know, and what would support your practice? What would support, you know, sort of in that same way of I'm serving the one who wants, to write, to write or to experience, express herself or something.
So almost like, is it sort of that reassurance we talk about of I love you exactly the way you are and I'll help you become whatever you want to be. So it's not like writing because you should or you have to or... But that because there's in you, there is someone or something that wants to write. So almost instead of being the writer, you're shepherding the writing.
Yeah.
You're supporting the writing.
Because there is a, it's kind of, it's been established. It's been this desire, whatever it is, has been in me for years. But she, let's just say she, who wanted to do this, just kept getting pounded by this.
By self-hate.
That is just jumped over the mentor to, you know, the mentor wasn't there, so just was, you know, oh, this is crap, you know, or just the opposite. It was just as
pernicious.
Yes, as destructive or whatever as, oh, this is really good, you're going to be famous. And you're going to just, you know, where it kind of can go to is it wants to really help people. You're going to really help people.
Right. Yeah.
And so...
And that's a way of making it about something else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And her, and leaving myself, leaving that, that experience of being shepherded and led. So it's so... it feels very subtle because it's about... I don't know. It's about expressing things that may really help people, right? But the one people it's really helping is this one. Person here.
And that, you know, as you say that, Rebecca, it seems like I'll bet anything that has been written that is helpful is written from that place, and we see our we see the authenticity it came from mirrored in ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about is writing authenticity.
Yeah.
And that that's so often, at least for me, and the things that I read that are so touching and moving and assist me in some way, feel like they're mirroring that in me, for me.
And I really, I can't even, I mean, this is the line I've drawn, that I don't even indulge any of the so then. You know, it's just really that.
It's just this word.
It's this word, and it's for this person.
Yeah.
This is the process is the outcome.
Yeah.
That is what this is about.
Yeah.
And it's helping me. It's training me to do what we were practicing yesterday, which is to stay here with her and make her. make her the primary love of my life, basically, and the one only thing, only kind of the only outcome is this happiness.
That is what you get from that process. And even that doesn't really say it. You don't get it. You are it, in a way, in that process. For me, what you're describing, you know, being staying here with her, it's really a synonym for staying in life. You know, because that, for each of us, this is our access to life. That's a clumsy way of saying it.
Yeah, and that really is, I suspect, the whole point.
Yeah.
The whole point.
Of all of it.
Yeah, and if I can, there's just one other little thing if I can put up that I've noticed is creeping up from way back here, and that is the last yesterday when I was writing, I saw it was the kind of the images of my two daughters, and there was a and I don't really know about this yet. I don't know what this is, but there is a sense that a desire to for them to know this person.
Who's writing?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Like I want them to know this about their mother. Hmm. You know, it's not something we talk about while we're out shopping. You know, sure. Right. So this is kind of if being self-expressed, uh-huh. basically for uh-huh. for them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of suspicious of that on one hand, mm-hmm. because it feels like a little bit like the doing this for them.
Uh-huh. Right, a subtle form of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the other hand, it can also be a projection exercise.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
In the sense of
there is no them.
Right.
There's a desire to be known.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. Right.
And it's just getting projected in that moment.
Yes. And as that becomes expressed, for lack of another way to say it, they just will get to know her because that's what will be there to know.
Yeah. If they have the opening. Do you know?
Yeah.
Do you mean literally then?
I do, if only in the sense of, because if we're talking about, if that is authenticity, if that's what you're describing, I don't know if that's what you're describing. So that, what I hear in it is, so there's just the authenticity that is life through Rebecca
uh-huh.
being expressed and kind of wanting your two daughters to know that.
Yeah.
Then as that just becomes all of who we are, which I project is what's happening in practice.
Yeah.
Then that's all they'll be ever interacting with.
Yeah.
That's all anything or anyone will ever be interacting with.
Right.
So whether they notice it or not,
yeah,
it's
up to them. Right.
So. But that's all there will be to quote no.
Yes.
That's all that will be there.
Exactly.
There will be no like putting on the mom.
Yeah.
If you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And ironically, I feel like that's been going on for years.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah.
So I am.
I'm sure they know a lot more about her. I mean, they know her a lot more than you realize they know her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really, as a way of just sort of owning all that.
Yeah.
That's what's going on internally here.
Yeah.
Is the authenticity is getting more and more known.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's so much helpful about what everyone's saying. That it kind of, I asked for help on something and I got it already, so.
You mean kind of set the intention before group, sort of? Love to. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah, me too. What I'm working with, and I have been for a little bit of time, is how ego projects onto others what it thinks of me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And how that controls me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it's such a good control technique.
It is, because it seems more real.
Right. That's such a good point. So, because at this level of practice, it's like, if it just comes straight at you and starts calling you names and stuff, it's like, oh, please. You know, come on. I mean, maybe in a weak moment, you're really tired, you're really hungry, it's really late, whatever, you might fall for it, but mostly not. But I mean, it's not self-hate. She actually thinks this about me.
Yeah.
He actually, look at the way he looked at me.
Yeah exactly. And it's really what it thinks, not what they think. Mm-hmm. Whether it is what they think or not, mm-hmm. really doesn't matter.
Really.
I mean, I know that, but I don't. There's a, I guess there's a small one inside of me who really cares about that.
Mm.
Like, who really cares what other people think, or what, or that she does the right thing, or,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so I hear it, but it doesn't get through, you know, I haven't had the actual awakening for that.
You hear that concept in practice talked about, you mean, but it feels like the actual belief still seems to bear out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'm walking around in that identification a lot of the time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And do you notice places where it's more powerful than others? Like, for example, are you ever just in the grocery store or some really anonymous kind of place? Mm-hmm. It does the double reverse projection, and it sort of just bounces off you. It doesn't really land anywhere. Or does it just not try it there?
No, I think it's going on in the background, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, what I look like, or right. What food do I pick, or, uh-huh. You know, people are thinking that, or thinking uh-huh. this, or, uh-huh. You know, I think it's like this tape that yeah. is running no matter where I'm at, unless uh-huh. I'm maybe out in the woods all by myself with nothing, no one around.
And what the squirrels think of you, or, yeah. And so when you're in that more anonymous kind of situation, is there actually, do you engage in that conversation? Yeah, God, I do look this way, and I am picking wrong foods. And then
I think it's less when it's anonymous, mm-hmm. going not going on quite as strongly, than if there's someone I know or mm-hmm. I'm close to or at work or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, a little less.
And so what does it feel like is required to begin to move from, you know, as you say, sort of, you're hearing it in practice, making that shift to really getting it.
Well, it was sort of the not doing, because uh-huh. what ego does with it is it turns it into you need to do something about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it was taking that and saying, you know, you're still identified, you're still doing that.
Yeah.
You know, that
here's the plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to stop it. You yeah. know, and. So when I heard the not doing, there's something in that,
yeah.
in untying the knot,
yeah.
and just that was kind of hit me like a koan a little bit when I heard that.
And a little bit of this theme that I don't know if you were in the workshop yesterday, but and that's been in practice a bit lately, of getting playful with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so because I bet you that would really allow you. To bring a finer level of attention and awareness to it. Mm-hmm. So it's you said it's going on kind of all the time in the background. Mm-hmm. And that the fact that it's able to control you so much says that it's probably not right up there at the forefront of your awareness.
Right.
And so if you actually called it out, mm-hmm. you know, I mean to yourself, mm-hmm. most cases, there might be a few special instances where the out loud could work. But just, you know, kind of quietly reflecting to yourself, oh, okay, so that guy thinks I'm a pig. Got it. Okay, and how, like what? Like, no, what exactly does he think? Like, so in his head, he's saying what? Oh, okay, got it. You know, I mean, just yeah. really, really calling it out.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Because it is yeah. going to be ridiculous, right?
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
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 And the seriousness that it puts on it
exactly.
is kind of funny. Now yeah. that you mention it. Bring that out, like everything's so serious and it all has to get done and it's
right.
like so important.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, what if I just got hit by a truck?
Exactly.
Like, none of it would get done.
I know. Like, I find that reassuring too. Exactly. And that's gonna happen. At some point, mm-hmm. you know, the to-do list is gonna be moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does. The only way it can have that level of control over us is if it's all terribly serious and so yeah. important, mm-hmm. and it really does matter how we look, and it really does matter what they think, and it really does matter what we get done, and it really,
yeah,
just sucking all of the enjoyment out
exactly.
of it.
Yeah, it turns it into the to-do and the should.
Yeah, yeah.
Things that are fun aren't fun anymore because they have to be done by a certain time, and if you don't, yeah. someone's going to think you're horrible. And
exactly.
You told them you would do it, and, you know.
Yes, you have to look a certain way while you're doing it, and it has to come out a certain, and it has to, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, drive, it's no wonder being playful and having fun with it drives it crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's nowhere for that seriousness to kind of stick to.
Yeah. So I'm going to reflect what your guidance was so I can remember it. And that is to call it out mm-hmm. and say, oh, so you think so-and-so thinks that, and that if I don't do that's what they think. And yeah.
Yeah, do the old, like, you know, we talk about sometimes exaggerating it. No, really. Like, what does he really think? Like, what exactly is he saying to this end? Because, you know, it wants to keep it amorphous. You know, like, well, he thinks I'm a bad person. No, but I mean, like, how is he expressing that exactly? What particular thing is he saying? Because of course, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And when you drill down, it's just going to be like, well, I don't know what he's saying. Exactly, you don't know what he's saying. So what are we talking about? You know?
Well, what's really going on is the other person's doing the same thing I'm doing.
Exactly. They don't even know you're there. They're completely concerned in their own world that they're the center of, and meanwhile, you're thinking about them. And what
They're thinking they're the wrong person. They can't get it all done. Yeah. What is everyone going to think?
Exactly. Oh, God. Someone has got to make a movie of that. You know, depicting that insanity that...
Yeah.
Here's what's going on the outside. Here's what's going on the inside.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
That's our time.